Hi there, my name's John Shomo. Welcome to a special edition by request of Then and Now. We're going to do features periodically through the year of historical events. This one will recall what it was like where I was on September 11th, 2001, remembering and honoring those lost that day. So to set the stage, my job is a high school teacher, was a high school teacher in Talmadge, Ohio. I'm now retired. But on September 11, 2001, I was teaching economics and U.S. history in the old Talmadge High School building. For those of you from around here, that building is no more. I was located in room 708 in that building, which was the classroom closest to the old teacher's lounge and fairly close around the corner from the office, if you recall. And that kind of plays a role in my role on this date as well. September 11th, 2001 was a Tuesday morning, and if you looked out the window, there was not a cloud in the sky. It was one of those beautiful, moderate temperature, late fall days, or late summer days, really. Eventually got up to 68, 70 degrees. It was a wonderful day, not a cloud in the sky. I was, as I mentioned, teaching economics and U.S. history. Economics was the first block of the day, started about 7:45 or so. And the big story that day looked like there would be a late morning press conference held in Washington, D.C. to announce that Michael Jordan was returning to the National Basketball Association as a member of the Washington Wizards. So there was a lot of speculation about that. I think the economic numbers for the month were due to come out that day. So we had some discussions and got some economics done. And the bell rang, and we went into second block. Second block started around 8:45, close to 9 o'clock. And after I did my introduction to my American Studies class, not long after I did, and those of you who might have had me as a teacher, you remember I used to do facts for the day off a blue card. They turned into Google Slides the last couple of years that I taught. But not long after I did that, the intro to the class, while introducing the lesson, I think the lesson was going to be that day, Chuck Yeager and the breaking of the sound barrier and the effect that had on the beginning, if you will, of the Cold War. It's amazing what you remember, by the way, about days like that. I don't remember what shirt I wore Tuesday, but I can remember specifically things are seared into my mind about September 11th. Anyway, I'm introducing the lesson, getting ready to go. My phone rings in the classroom. That didn't happen a heck of a lot. So I answered the phone. The person on the other end of the phone was in such a hurry, I guess I should say, that he didn't even identify himself. Later, I found out that it was our department head. And he said, "Turn your TV on. A plane just ran into the Twin Towers," period, and hung up. And so I thought, well, okay. There were a lot of thoughts in my mind in the 5 to 10 seconds, and it's amazing, really, that it took me to hang up the phone, walk a few paces over to where the television was in the classroom, and turn the television on and get a channel that would be, you know, having the news. I thought of, the thought I had, well, being a history guy, was that there was an incident in World War II in New York in 1945. I think it was June of 1945, maybe July, right before the war ended. A B-25 bomber, one of ours, on a very, very foggy morning, hit the 79th floor of the Empire State Building. It punched a hole, a little bit of a hole in the building. It didn't endanger the building, you know, for falling down or anything like that. 14 people died, including the three on the aircraft. 24 people were injured. Fog had obscured the top half of the building, and this pilot just, you know, flew right into it, not knowing it was there. Anyway, that's the thought I had. As I'm walking over to the TV, it took me longer to describe it than it did to actually think about it and get to the television in my classroom. So I turned on the television, and the image that we first saw, and remember, I had a classroom full of juniors, I guess it was at the time, was that the North Tower of the Twin Towers of the World Trade Center in Manhattan had been hit. And smoke was pouring out of the building near the 80th floor or so. And again, this just happened in a matter of 10 or 15 seconds. Also, you could see very clearly, and it, you know, regarding what I was just describing in 1945, that wasn't the case on September 11, 2001. It looked a lot like it did back here in Ohio, just a beautiful, cloudless, sunny, late summer day. So the thought of an accident because of fog is off the table at that point. As I'm still processing all of this stuff, it didn't take very long, I don't know, maybe a minute, another plane hit the South Tower on the television screen, and gasps in the classroom obviously took your breath away. And at that moment, you knew there was nothing accidental going on. This was some sort of an act of terrorism or an attack of some kind upon the United States. Now, having 20-ish junior high school students in the room as this is going on, I thought, and I don't know how much of this was accidental or how much of this was forethought, that I had better try to stay as calm as I could. Because there were going to be people in the room that were not calm. And that certainly was the case. And I really tried my best to remain calm through this. The location of my classroom maybe was helpful because I had a lot of folks popping in and out during that time with that on television to see what was going on. And we had some discussions. And I think that maybe helped me calm down. I don't know about the students. But I, you know, what do you do in that? But you can't go on with the lesson. My God. There was no other option for a social studies teacher, particularly. I don't think there was another option for anybody teaching anything personally. The thought I had back to when I student taught at that building in room 108, in the fall of 1989. And during my student teaching semester, the Berlin Wall came down. Now, as I'm teaching American history, I'm thinking, this is a freaking big development, and I got to handle it. So I ditched my lesson plan that day and talked about the history of the Berlin Wall and why this was such an important moment in history. And I think, personally, that's what you have to do. That's part of our job. We have to be kind of nimble about things like that when they happen. Not every other teacher did that, by the way, back in 1989. I don't know whether every single teacher in the building on September 11th had that on the television, but I would assume a large majority of them did. Anyway, the students had various reactions. Some of them gathered and were praying silently, and I'm certainly not going to stop that at a moment like that. Never crossed my mind. I do remember specifically having one student. I was the varsity girls golf coach the first year that we had a program in 2001. And one of my golfers was in the classroom and she was starting to freak out a little bit. This was before students had cell phones on them, in large numbers or anything like that. And I asked her what was wrong. And she said, my mom is flying this morning on a flight somewhere. And I don't know to this day why I said what I said. If I was to plan it out in advance, I'd say exactly the same thing. I guess I was just lucky. And I looked at her and I said her name and I said, you go down to the office and make as many phone calls as you need to make before you come back and tell me that she's okay. And that's about how I said it. And I wouldn't change that one bit. I was lucky that popped into my head. So she went down to the office and I'd say 15 or 20 minutes later came back. Her mom had landed safely. They landed the plane in Cincinnati. Everything was fine with her. Gosh, I was lucky. And she was fortunate, obviously, as was anybody else who had relatives in the air that day other than on those four planes, I guess. Anyway, second block ended, went to lunch. That's when I kind of decompressed a little bit. I could hardly eat a sandwich in the lunchroom. I was just kind of reeling a little from everything, having tried to keep myself together in front of the students and then, a little time to breathe and reflect and so forth. In the afternoon, some of my colleagues decided to we combine classes. And here's why. The decision was made by the school district to let parents pick up students and let them go home if they wanted to. That was completely up to the parents. And I think that was the right decision. A lot of schools closed on September 11th, sent everybody home. University of Akron, one of the universities stayed open and one of them closed. I can't remember whether it was Akron or Kent State. One did one thing and one did another. A lot of high schools, for instance, shut down, sent everybody home. Some of them, like us, stayed. I think it was a great decision by the people who ran our district. We stayed open. If parents wanted to come pick their students up and take them home, that was their business. And there was a small but steady number of cars. I had a classroom that looked out over the driveway where people would drive up to the school. And there was a small but steady through the afternoon, you know, line of cars waiting to pick people up. I'd say more than half of the students stayed. And I was glad personally that we stayed. What would I have done? I would have gone home to an empty house. My wife was working. My son was in second grade, just started second grade at Dunbar Elementary School. I'd have gone home, sat in front of my TV by myself and watched this all play out over and over again. And I don't think that would have been healthy. So I certainly think for my own benefit, and I think for the students' benefits, we did the right thing. Anyway, I know particularly in third block, my colleague and friend Sue Wells at the time, now Mrs. Whitman, Mrs. Whitman and I combined our classes. I forget whether I took my class down to her room or she took her class to my room. I don't remember. But we just tried to answer their questions as best we could. We certainly didn't have all the answers. And a lot of it, I guess, was speculation. But I think it was great that we did that. And we just kind of let the students talk it out a little bit. And it was probably good for us as well. Fourth block, I had my prep period, so I was by myself. Tammy came in to Talmadge High School, and we discussed how we were going to deal with it having a seven-year-old second grader. That was certainly a concern for millions of people that day. We talked it over. We decided to answer any questions he might have about what had happened. We had no idea how they were handling it at an elementary building. And my God, those people don't get enough credit for what they do. How do you keep, you know, I had high school students. I think I had a responsibility to let them know what was going on and to have them aware of it. I don't know how you deal with elementary school kids. Those people are unbelievable. But we didn't know what they had done. So we decided again to answer his questions. The one thing we wanted to keep from him, and we talked this over, was we didn't want him to see pictures or video of the planes actually striking the Twin Towers. We live not, you know, kind of close to the Akron-Fulton Airport down by the old Rubber Bowl. And there are small planes coming and going, not directly overhead of the house very often, but you can see them in the neighborhood. Every once in a while, we'll be on the Akron-Canton flight path, and you'll see bigger planes come by. And we did not think it would be healthy for him, and it might get him scared of seeing an airplane. So we didn't want him to see that video or those pictures. Other than that, we would try to answer any question he might have. At the end of the workday, I went over to Dunbar Elementary. It was primary election day here in Ohio. And that's where my voting place was at the time. So I drove over to the old Dunbar Elementary building. It's not there anymore. Did my duty, voted, and went to the office and signed Matt out so that I could take him home. So we got in the car and drove, and it's not a long drive from where Dunbar was to where we live. And his question, the first question I remember, the only question that he really had was, after finding out that two of the planes had flown out of Boston, I guess, he asked me if Larry Bird was okay. Yeah, he was okay. What do you say to that, really? But that drive went fine. He was a pretty good, as a young guy, at understanding distance. I had heard that day that with younger children in particular, they don't have relative distance easily figured out in their minds, and they might think something that happened in New York or Washington or Pennsylvania was happening very, very close to them in Northeast Ohio. I think Matt had an idea about that, and he didn't seem to be worried about that at all, which was good, which was very helpful. Tammy and I talked about her brother, Mike. Mike had been scheduled to take a flight out of Boston that morning. We found out that his flight had been landed in Chicago. And then he had a great story. Mike went to the rent-a-car counter at O'Hare in Chicago and was going to need, obviously, to get back home to Boston. And the rent-a-car company at O'Hare was price gouging and asked and told him it would be $1,700 to rent a car to drive back to Boston. Well, Mike probably could have afforded that, but he was not going to get stiffed by that guy. So he went to the Ryder rent-a-truck counter and rented a small rent-a-truck for $300, I think is the number that he gave us, and drove back in a small Ryder rent-a-truck back through here. Actually had dinner with him on September 12th on his way back to Boston. So, you know, that's a little side story there. When he got back, his car and every single car that had been at Logan Airport in Boston had been impounded by the FBI, towed to the infield of Suffolk Downs, the horse racing track up near Boston. And I'm sure the FBI went through every single car, including his, that had been parked at Logan Airport that day. So that's kind of an interesting side. Like that was his experience that day. And it was nice of him to stop by and have dinner with us and then move on back home. So those are my memories of September 11th. Obviously, everybody's got a story. Everybody's story is not the same. But that's mine. And a few years ago, actually, I'll add this little footnote here, this postscript. The Akron Beacon Journal contacted the school and they wanted to interview three Talmadge teachers that were in different stages of their lives on September 11th. This was for the 20th anniversary in 2021. It was so the interviews were conducted in September of 2021. It was myself, who was actually working as a teacher at the time, a middle school teacher who was actually a student at the time, and an elementary school teacher who did not remember September 11th at all. Or was a very, very young elementary student. So they got three different perspectives on it. We did the interview over by the middle and elementary schools out on a picnic table. And that interview was published in the Akron Beacon Journal in September of 2021 on the 20th anniversary of the 9/11 attacks. So if anybody wants to go look through the archives and find that, that's there. You can, you know, read what we all said from different perspectives of that day. So that's my story. That's my experience of a very dark day, obviously, in American history, something that you never forget. I remember what clothes I was wearing that day. It's what I ate for lunch. It's so strange. But there have been a handful of those days, and that certainly was one of them. So thanks for bearing with me as I told my story there. If you have any comments or any further questions about my experience or 9/11 in general, shoot us an email. We have an email address for our regular podcast, Then and Now. It's threegoodquestions@gmail.com. That's three spelled out, T-H-R-E-E, threegoodquestions@gmail.com. And we'd be happy to hear any comments or questions that you might have about this. Thanks for choosing us. Again, this is Then and Now Special Edition, Remembering September 11th, 2001. I'm John Shomo. Have a good day, everybody.